The title of my sermon this morning is Watch. How many watches do you have? How many of you have more than one watch? Right, almost all right. This is not about watches. It's about being watchful. One day, a few disciples came to Jesus and asked him privately before he went up to the cross. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, Matthew chapter 24, the disciples came to him and asked, "Tell us, Jesus, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age?" The disciples are curious because Jesus, you are the king of this kingdom, amen? You are the king who is going to reign. And now we want to know, when will you come again? When you come again, and that's the end of the age, we want to know what are the signs. We want to know that the time is near. So, Jesus answered, verse 5, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many." I don't know if you have heard, like, different ones that say that they are Christ, they are sent by Christ. There are all sorts of teachings, especially during the pandemic. You go to Gurney Plaza, you know, people approaching Christians most of the time, telling that they have special revelation. They are from heaven and earth. I don't know, new heaven and new earth. I don't know. All these different ones trying to say, "Hey, we have the new revelation. We have this. My spiritual leader has the spirit of Christ on him." And verse 6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We have also heard wars, right? In Ukraine, in Israel. And mind you, actually, there are many countries that are experiencing civil wars right now. People are fighting. I mean, as if the world is not bad enough, people are still fighting. "See that you are not troubled. These things must come to pass," Jesus said, "but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." All these things are not foreign to you and I. When I shared this sermon just now in the Chinese service, they had the exact response like you, like, "Where is this going?" Today the sermon sounds a bit negative. I don't know what you are feeling right now. And verse 9 says here, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." We heard from Peter just now, even the church, the churches in India can experience tribulations, persecutions. You know, even in today, modern world, religion is still not for freedom for many people. You know, even some very advanced, progressing country, they are stopping churches. They are stopping people from sharing the gospel. What is the freedom, right? So, we should not be surprised that all this is happening. Verse 12, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." Now, all that I have shared, they are just signs that Jesus explained before his coming. Signs like wars, false prophets, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, tribulation, persecution because of faith. All these are the signs. And the Bible says, lawlessness will abound. Do you realize that right now people don't like to talk about law anymore? What is good and what is bad? Even in first world countries, we see young people, educated people, break into shops to grab the jewelries, valuables. It's crazy, right? First world country. And these things are happening. Now, they are trying to redefine what marriage is, what a healthy family unit is. It's crazy. Lawlessness will abound. But watch this. You may think that this is still far from you. The love of many will grow cold. It's a question that we must ask ourselves this morning is your love today for people cold or hot? Because do you realize that as society progresses, we want to progress, to be more advanced, to be more, to gather wealth, to do better in our career and all that. Do you know that sometimes the cost is that our love will grow cold? That we no longer feel compassionate. We no longer have love for people that are different from us. They are inconvenient. That is inconvenient for us. And the Bible says, those who endure till the end shall be saved. But friends, today, I'm not asking all of us to focus on these signs, because this is what the disciples asked. Am I right? They were looking for signs. They want to know when. But Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. The key is this. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. So to us, the most important thing is this. It's not what signs is better and clearer, but this, that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. In Malaysia, in Kedah, in Perak, in Kelantan, in Perlis, you know what I mean? In India, in Peter and Jupiter's area, in Tibet, in every country, every race, the gospel must be preached and will be preached. This was what Jesus said. You can go back and continue reading. That is the heart of God. Verse 42. Now, let's read it together. Verse 42. 1, 2, go. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus says, therefore, watch. Watch, because we do not know when. It can be a few years from now. It can be next month. It can be tonight. The simple truth is, we do not know when. Therefore, we watch. You may have many watches. You know those days, you know, people, not everyone have a watch, right? It's a luxury. But not all of us have watches. But are we watchful? Are we aware of what the Lord is doing? Because when Jesus comes, he will come like a thief at night. A time when people think, you know, oh, He won't be coming so soon. That's the time that he will come, because he comes at the hour you do not expect. So I kind of give up trying to predict when Jesus will come. I think we should put the focus on being watchful. Watch and say, God, I want to be ready. City Light, my job as your pastor is not to make you feel good, like, oh, let's come and just enjoy this place. I pray that all of us will watch, that know the timing. Watch and pray. Last week we talked about prayer, right? But this week, let's learn how to be watchful in prayer. It is so important. The key is this, that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. How can we be watchful? How do we know? The key is to carry the gospel of the kingdom wherever we go, because that is the factor when Jesus will come. And that is the job that is undone. You cannot control earthquake, can you? You cannot control famine. You cannot control pandemic. None of us can. But we can take part in preaching the gospel. City Light, we are not having a light party, light show here. Light must go to darkness. If light doesn't go to darkness, the light is useless. If salt doesn't go to food, the salt is useless. If believers, we don't go out to the world, we are not useful to the world. The key is to carry the gospel. Now, then, what is the gospel? Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. What is the gospel? Here it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Today, how do you represent and carry the gospel? The Bible says that we should not be ashamed, because it is the power of God to salvation. Isn't it amazing that the gospel has the power of God to save? Meaning, your neighbors need to experience this power. Your aunt, your uncle, your friends, your childhood playmate, your neighbor, your colleagues, your boss. You may think your boss gives you a job, yes, but you can give him the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. When we hear the gospel, it has the power to save. That is the power that you have and your boss does not have. Are you following me? Do not be intimidated by, you see, the world views us by your success, your money, your status. But in the kingdom of God, it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to save. Meaning, right now, with that power comes great responsibility. If you watch Spider-Man, you have the power. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. Now you have the power to bring the gospel to people. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. Do you know that because of the gospel right now, we receive the righteousness of God? Now, this is something very powerful. The righteousness of God right now is upon us, within us. Meaning, for the rest of the world, without that power, they still live under the bondage of sin. They want to quit sin, but they could not. because sin has power over them. But the power of God breaks that bondage of sin. Can Christians still sin? Yes, you want to sin, you can still sin, but now sin has no power over us. We have broken free from the power of death and sin. Come on, if you believe that, you experience that, give the Lord a big, big hand. And today, I can choose to forgive because of the gospel. I can overcome temptation because of the gospel. It is the power of God. Friends, today you and I have experienced the power of God through the gospel. You must share it. We must treasure it because it's power. When we did not have this, we were struggling in sin and darkness. Now we have broken free. Hallelujah. We have this freedom. And the Bible says, it is revealed from faith to faith. We started experiencing the gospel and the power of God from faith. But it should also go to faith. Meaning, your faith is not an event. Oh, when I believe in Jesus, yes, one time I believe in Jesus. That was an event. But it should not stop there. From faith to faith, meaning every day you still live by faith. The just shall live by faith. How can you live a righteous life? By faith. It is not by knowledge. It is not by experience. It is not by qualification. It is not by your position in church. It is by faith. So when you have faith in Christ, you live a righteous life through the gospel. So the gospel is powerful. So every time you see someone demon-possessed, the gospel is the power to save. Someone is sick, the gospel is the power of God to save. When someone is experiencing mental health issue, when someone is having a broken marriage, finances, they are bad, the power of God is for them through the gospel. But the thing is this, we have kept the gospel in the treasure chest, I don't know, somewhere. The power of God is not released until we share it. And everyone say, I want to share with you from Apostle Paul how he would see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19 to 23. He said, though I'm free and belong to no one. You know, he was a Pharisee. He had to observe a lot of law. But after knowing Christ, he's free. He's set free, right? He belonged to no one. I have made myself a slave, not to someone, but to everyone. Some of you here are a boss, huh? In your company, you work, right? Everything kind of is taken care of. Somebody can open the door for you, give you tea, right? You are above everyone else, you know, and no one is above you. Kind of like that in the company, right? Can you imagine you are free like that and you make yourself a slave in the company to everyone? That is the feeling. Paul says, I don't have to do this, but I've made myself a slave. Why? He said, it's to win as many as possible. To win souls is to learn how to be a slave. Why is that so? He said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. To win the Jews, to those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Verse 21, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessing. Paul says, I will become all things to all men. If I'm with the Jew, I become like a Jew. If I'm with the Gentile, I become like a Gentile. If with the weak, I become like a weak person. It's so that I might save some, every possible mean. You know what is the problem when we want to share the gospel? That person is different from me. No, that is not the problem. The problem is you are different from that person. We need to become all things to all men. To the weak, we can become weak. The problem is this, you know. Last time, before we met Christ, many of us here, we may come from a not so wealthy family, right? We may come from not so wealthy family where we had to cycle, we had to work multiple jobs, and now God has blessed us, right? We no longer have gardenia, bread, and Milo as our meal. Our church used to have a lot of people like that. Now, God has blessed us. You eat in cafes, fine dining, and all that. Praise the Lord, God is good. But can you still go and eat gardenia, Milo with someone? Because, yes, you have become strong, but can you become weak so that you might save some? Yes, now you can speak English. Can you still go back and brush out your Mandarin so that you can share the gospel? Yes, I know our church is famous for having, most of us are introverts here, including me. Yes, you don't believe. I have become extrovert for you so that I might save some. You can be an extrovert for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a big, big hand. Pastor, 3 minutes fellowship is the longest time in the service where you have to talk to new friends. For the sake of the gospel, come on, church. Let's be all things to all men. Let's not talk about Vision Day, Vision Sunday, until we can learn how to be all things to all men. And everyone say, he said, I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Church, sometimes you go out and work. Certain people speak certain languages. You know, the tax collectors, the prostitutes were probably speaking certain language, but Jesus spoke to them, and Jesus could understand their language. Sometimes, in order for us to save some, we've got to get into an environment where we are not familiar. You know, Peter and Jephthah, they are not from that place. They come from the south and they go up to the north, you know. That means they look different. And Peter has to shave his head. Probably to fit in, you know. Everybody doesn't have hair there, you know, so might as well. To be all things to all men. Church, when we can do that, then it is possible that we might save some. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says here, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You see, the gospel becomes powerful when there is faith, because faith believes. And the Bible says here, it is with your heart that you believe, you are justified, but with your mouth that you profess your faith and are safe. That's why, even until today, believers, do you know, when we say we are believers, we still have to believe in our heart, not here, here. We still have to profess, we still have to confess our faith with our mouth. Just like the day we say, I believe in Jesus, Jesus is my Lord. He came, He died, and He was risen on the third day. I believe that today we still speak the same thing. We still profess our faith. God, I believe in your healing. God, I believe you are my Father. I believe you are my shepherd. I believe in your promises. I obey your word. We still have to speak to today. Because faith is not like, yeah, I've said it once, now I no longer speak. A lot of times our mouth, instead of using it to praise God and to profess God's word, now it's used for all other purposes. But this is powerful. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's why when someone says, even they do not know much about God, they say, God, Lord, save me. I cry out to your name. The criminal next to Jesus on the cross, I don't know what he knew about Jesus, man, but he put his faith in Jesus. And Jesus says, I will see you. I will see you in my kingdom. Just calling out God's name, Jesus. Faith. Speaking it out, the people will be saved. But we have a problem over here, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now this is what? This is Christian common sense. To be saved, you have to call out God's name. To call God's name, you have to believe. To believe, someone must preach the good news. To preach the good news, someone must be sent. This is common sense. This is the process. So that at the end of the day, someone can cry out to God, call out God's name, and call on God's name, and he will be saved. But it starts where? It starts at stage number one. Not stage five. Stage number one is someone must be sent. I wonder how many of us here, you will say to God, God, here I am, send me. Send me to my family. Send me to my neighborhood. Send me to my company, to my school. Send me, God, to another state in Malaysia. Send me outside of Malaysia. Send me, God. Because in order for someone to be saved, someone must be sent. This scripture was the scripture that God spoke to me and asked me to come out and serve him. Not full-time as a pastor, but full-time preaching the gospel. You may not be a full-time pastor, but you and I should be full-time being sent out by to your company, to your workplace, to your family, to your aunts, to your ipo, to all your friends. Because one day, they will ask, if they see you in heaven and they cannot enter, they will ask, friend, where is the good news? All of us here have the power of God on the inside of us. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God to save. But today, will you share this with someone so that they can experience the power of God? You know, everything that we do, whether it is mission, fires camp, marriage, love, you think like the church is very free and they come up with all these things. It's so that we might save some. So that we can reach out to someone. This one, you can probably invite some couples that you know They need to experience the love of God. Can I pay 150 ringgit for you to a good meal, dress up with your wife? Come. And you maybe they will listen to a good message. I don't know. Isaac, just pray for Isaac, okay? God will use him to do magic. But the beautiful thing is this. The whole idea is so that we might save some. That we watch and we pray. I pray that City Lighters, we are all people with beautiful feet because we carry the good news everywhere we go. The world has read negative news every day from the newspaper. You and I are the open good news, open Bible. If you have been working from home, your company allows you to, maybe sometimes you volunteer to work in the office to reach out to someone. Unless you can be a tele-evangelist on the internet during your conference call, preach the gospel, I don't know. But otherwise, go out, buy a meal. Share what you know, what you don't, not what you don't know. If you know God is good to you, share it. If you know God has healed you, share it with someone. God has changed your life, share it. This is my personal story. You share it. Your friend may hate you now, but you must do it with wisdom. You must do it with love. They may not like it now, but they will thank you and love you a lot next time because of the good news. Amen. Shall we stand to our feet this morning, this afternoon? You know, when Jesus comes, he gave a parable. He said, you know, when the Son of Man comes, it is like a bridegroom. There are 10 virgins waiting, holding a lamb. You know, 5 of them were prepared, the lamb with oil. The other 5, they are holding their smartphones, the scrolling. Not knowing that they have no more oil. I mean, that's my version lah. I feel sometimes while waiting for Christ, we are just scrolling our smartphone, what to buy, where to eat, what vacation to go to. I mean, it's not wrong, but it's not a sin, okay? I still also go for vacation. But we are heaven citizen living here on earth. Our own identity, permanent, eternal identity is a heavenly citizen. So we watch and say, God, every morning you wake up, right? The prayer should be, God, fill me with your oil. Fill me with your fire. God, who do you want me to pray for today? Who do you want me to reach today? God, show me your kingdom today. Who should I share your gospel, your love to today? Let's not wake up in the morning and say, God, what should I wear today? What should I eat today? You know, God, I have so much money. Where should I spend today? The Bible says, seek the kingdom of God first and all these things shall be added unto you. If we begin to watch and pray, I believe we are on the right track to prepare for the return of our King. City Light. Let's prepare for the return of our King, shall we? Let's just close our eyes and just bow our head. Would you just lift up our hands right now to God and respond to God?